Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. 17 years after Romania joined the EU, the country's European journey is far from over. At the end of March, Romania, together with Bulgaria, partially joined Europe's ID check-free travel zone, Schengen, after many years of negotiations. It was hailed as a historic step by the European Commission, although land border checks remain in place for now. Now, an even more historic step would be membership of the single currency, and the Romanian government has said it's looking to adopt the euro in 2026 if the National Recovery and Resilience Plan is fully implemented first. To look at Romania's European story and to assess the current challenges, I'm joined by two Romanian MEPs. Dragoș Pislaru is from Renew Europe, and he's a former Romanian Minister of Labour, and he also worked on economic affairs in the office of the Prime Minister in Romania. Welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
And I'm also joined by Cristian Silvio Bușoi from the European People's Party. He's a former member of the Romanian Parliament and has held top positions in PNL, Romania's National Liberal Party. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much.
And I should say both of you are the only two Romanian MEPs who are presidents of committees here in the European Parliament. Cristian Silvio, let's start with you. This grand coalition that you have in Romania is also kind of the mirror of the joint list that you have for the European elections. So you've got the National Liberals and the Social Democrats. It's a kind of grand coalition which has fallen out of fashion in Western Europe, we might say.
We have a grand coalition through, and the common list was just after the formation of the government coalition. It was mainly to give a strong signal that we'll have a pro-European vote, to mobilize the pro-European vote, and also to ensure the stability of the governing coalition. The two parties are the main parties in the last 30 years. We fought and were in competition most of the times during parliamentary and presidential elections, and I'm sure this will happen in the future. We'll remain in competition because my party is part of EPP, is a center-right party. Social Democrats are part of SND. It's a center-left. Some of the values, some of the solutions are different. But because we need stability, we needed to advance with the reforms, the implementation of the resilience and recovery plan, and also because of the war and the need to have a stable government in Romania, we decided to form this coalition.
And Dragoș Pislaru, how are things looking for your party, for Renew? Maybe I should say Reper, because obviously you've got this grand coalition on the one side, you've got the rise of the far right in Romania. Is that squeezing your political space?
Absolutely. As it is with Renew Europe in the European Parliament, we can be kingsmakers, where we can actually, you know, be quintessentially in foreign majorities, but then when you have this kind of grand coalition, of course, for us it's very difficult. Yeah.
And so you need to be able to get to a 5% threshold, is that right?
Absolutely, and I think we have good chances for that because we have a very, very strong list of former MEPs and other important members that are recognized in the Romanian society, be that part of the Romanian parliament or public figures, physicians, philosophers, and so on and so forth. But what I wanted to tell you is my perspective from the opposition related to the Grand Coalition. Mm-hmm. I mean, ideology is dead. I mean, you have two parties that are supposed to be fighting against each other for policy issues and so on, but they are just dividing the state resources. I mean, they are avoiding in this way any kind of competition, because if they can get together, especially for the local election, they will have the chance to win from the first round, because we don't have two rounds as in many other member states of the European Union. So this is more to just stay there in power, having control of the resources. And of course, there is a secondary agenda that unites us, that is to be pro-European. But again, the political calculations are even more important right now.
We are just to be to clarify.
Quick response.
We are in competition in local elections in most of the places. Yeah. Beside Bucharest, Timișoara, Brașov, and Bacău, there we have a mayor from Renew family, a different party than Mr. Păslaru party, and there we have a common candidate. But otherwise, we are in competition in local elections, and you'll see a very hard competition in many of the places.
I just want to give some facts and figures on the economy for our viewers. If we look at the economic indicators, we went from very high inflation in Romania in last year to a drop. So you can see the red bar going down for 2024, and then a further drop in inflation that is predicted by 2025. So I suppose in a way we could say that is somewhat good news, but less good news perhaps, GDP growth going up only very slowly. That's the blue bar, which is projected to rise to only 3.2% by 2025, according to the European Commission. What are your thoughts on that, Dragos?
I mean, of course, this is a projection. What I am going to beg to differ is looking at the results of the inflation on the first 2 months in 2024. January 7.3, February 7.1. We are by far the country with the largest inflation in Europe. I would say that the projection here are based on a neutral year, but right now we have a lot of populistic measures that are coming from the Grand Coalition.
And this is one of the things feeding into the rise of the AUR, the Alliance for the Union of Romanians.
Absolutely, right. Because, I mean, we are have done together, I would say this time, come up with a lot of resources like the national resilience plans and many other resources from the EU level. But if these resources are not actually going to be spent wisely or coming up with measures that would reach the people, the Romanian citizens will just say the EU hasn't done anything for us. Mm. So the problem is that we have a very ambitious EU agenda that is supposed to help citizens, you know, have a better standard of living, less cost of living. But at the same time, I mean, we have a government that is stuck having problems in implementing those measures back home.
Are you stuck in implementing the resilience plan, the recovery plan?
No, not at all. Yes, it was during the common governing year and a half year with the EPP and Renew parties in Romania. Many of the measures are not easy to implement. Many of them are necessary. Some others are not so essential, but are there and complicates a little bit the situation. On the projection, we had one of the highest GDP increase in the last years. If we look to the to Europe, even during the COVID crisis, true inflation is high. It was high also in internationally and in Europe. So economically, Romania is not doing very bad.
I just want to come back to the question of the far right, because in the most recent poll that we have from late March, the AUR, so that's the Romanian far right party, would be projected to get 12 seats, which is actually the single biggest result for any individual party. What do you make of that, Dragos Pislaru?
I would say that you cannot just blame everyone for being anti-system. I mean, part of the feelings or the anxiety or the fears of the populations are there because there was an increase of the cost of living because of a bad economic performance. I mean, regardless what we can actually hear in this debate. So there are reasons for people to be uncertain. And of course, there are politicians that don't have any scruples and they are using this in order to instill fear and use that for fascist or extremist messages. And we need to fight that, of course.
And being anti-system also means going against the grain on Ukraine and Russia, which is an important element.
Absolutely. I mean, the hybrid war that Putin's regime is playing in Europe is fueling these kind of movements. If you can add the communist nostalgia and you on top of that, the fact that there are networks that are actually spreading news even from across the ocean with, you know, Trump kind of measures instilling this type of, you know, quasi-fascist narrative. I mean, we have a lot of sources for this to happen. One important thing is that you will not do much help just to disband completely these people. You need to win their minds and hearts by explaining what the European Union is doing and then having a government that will really take care of people.
Let's get your thoughts, because we don't have a lot of time, but on the whole Schengen question, which we opened with. Christian Silviu, do you get a sense that Romanians will still feel as if they're somehow second-class citizens? Because this was not a full joining of Schengen. As I said, land borders are still going to be subject to checks.
This was the rhetoric of our, this extremist party, and this fueled a little bit the anti-extremist, the extremist and anti-European current in Romania. They will not get 12 seats. The fact that we have local elections, the fact that we have common list of the governing coalition will decrease a lot the result and the vote for extremist parties in Romania, but the situation will not change very much because we need to respond to the causes, which should be a better governance, more European support for Romania, better implementation of European funds, and so on. On Schengen, yes, it's an injustice made to Romania. In December 2022, Austria vetoed after European Commission said it very clear that we fulfilled all the technical obligations. European Parliament supported the accession of Romania and Bulgaria with a high majority in several resolutions. So the political decision of European institutions and most of the member states was there. For electoral reasons, Austria blocked this and opened just half of the door. And important is that we should have the full access this year, also with terrestrial borders.
Yeah, just very quickly, Dragos, when do you think the Schengen issue is going to be fully sorted out then?
I mean, in my view, this is not an Austria issue. This is a decision-making at the EU-level issue. By the fact that you can have the entire EU being hostage to Orban or to, you know, Nehammer or whatever, that shows that we need a, you know, really important reform, institutional reform at EU level and a treaty change. Yeah. I mean, in my view, we need qualified majority in order to do that. And Romania right now, indeed, it's discriminated on this particular ground.
We'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much to both of my guests, Dragos Pislaru and Cristian Silviu Bușoi. And unfortunately, I do have to say to everybody, a socialist and Democrat Romanian MEP, we did reach out, but none of them were able to join us at this time on the set. But glad you could join us nonetheless. Thanks for watching.